Blog Talk Radio.
Of Allah, the beneficent, the most merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Fried Muhammad. I bear witness that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger. And I further bear witness that the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine warner, leader, teacher, and God, that he has so mercifully left in our midst, our champion of truth and justice. And it's in their names that I greet you in our nation's greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum. And I thank all of you who are joining me this morning in this special broadcast on the day of my birth, which I also share with many others, but two brothers in particularly, Brother Student Minister Dr. Abdul Halim Muhammad of Houston, Texas, Muhammad Mosque number 45, and of course, my twin, not only in birth but in spirit, Brother Rakim Khalik Muhammad of Chicago, Illinois. we remain 3-6 Mafia, and only us know what that means. So happy birthday, my dear brothers. And we thank Allah for you all, and we thank Allah for your parents who went through the sacrifice to produce two such beautiful brothers. I don't quite know why I felt such a need to do this broadcast this morning, but it had been riding me for a few days now. And you know, Islam is mathematics, and mathematics is Islam. And so as I was dealing with the numbers of my birth day today, I added the 12 and then the 6, and I added the 2 and then the 1 and then the 7, I realized that that number was 19. And if you are MGT, you know what that means. It signifies the woman. And I guess possibly in my womanhood, I'm coming full circle. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. But we often want to celebrate our birthdays. And I thought on this day that I would celebrate the anniversary of my birth so many years ago, which I'm not going to say. But by trying to give a gift, I'm always in the spirit of trying to give and save by Allah's permission and by His grace. And as Brother Jamil Muhammad, Minister Jamil Muhammad, I always say, I'm a statistical wizard, and I'm always researching and studying statistics on different things. And what I found in strumming through some of the files of the Justice Department is that there's a staggering number of brothers and sisters of the original family that are being incarcerated in massive numbers. And I wanted to talk about that because a lot of us either have been to jail, or we have family members that are in jails or in prison or go in and out of jails and prisons for whatever reason. But I want to tell you that the message is changing. In how information is being disseminated when it comes to prison and the reasons why you go to prison and how the laws are changing and loopholes in the law that are changing, that are keeping you incarcerated. And for us, as black men and women, it is devastating that our people are facing such a plight, and that we are, as a people, so unaware. I want to start off with the title of this broadcast. And I also want to pay homage to my father, who almost appears to have had a peek at the future way back in the 1970s, as he talked to me about his profession, which was a police officer. And my father was a police officer at the time when black police officers could only arrest black citizens or African American citizens. And we're going to talk about the difference between black and African American. And thank you all. Thank you all for the birthday messages. I love you all too. All praises to Allah. Thank you. My computer, you hear it, it's just going off. The name of this broadcast is called Mass Incarceration, The Plot, The Target, and The Price. We're going to talk about the plot. The plot is, has been for a long time, is to, number one, for this government to revise or redesign slavery as it was. And of course, I'm not telling you all anything new or anything you haven't heard, but of course, what they've done is that they have continued to build prisons for us. And the purpose of building those prisons, even way back in the 1800s, was to get you in a situation, put you in a position where you would be arrested. And when you were arrested, you were sentenced to 10 days hard labor for a very minor offense, or 10 years hard labor, depending on what the offense was. And then if you happen to kill someone, then you might have served a lifetime of hard labor in a particular prison. Now, this was back in the 1800s, so that is still relevant and present in the judicial system today. So the plot is to reinvent and redesign slavery and redesign those of us who are of the indigenous family to go back in time to a space and a place, not only in our physical aspect, but in our mental aspect of being a slave. And I hear and I have heard all of the excuses where there are no jobs and what you want me to do and I got to feed my family, I got to live and this, that, and the other. We've heard all the excuses. But let me tell you about the plot. The plot is political. And it's two things that this systematic way of government, it's two things that they don't want you to do. They don't want you to develop economic resource that is independent of them or independent of corporate America, and they don't want you to participate in the political process. At this point, if you can recall, when President Barack Obama was elected the first time, it was the vote of the masses of black people that really got him in. He won the popular vote. So now, this government is about to and has started and will continue to disrupt everything. And they're going to do it at an astronomical rate and speed to the point that they don't want educated black men brown men, yellow men, and red men to participate in the political process. One of the ways to keep you from participating in the political process is to incarcerate you so that they could take your right to vote. And once they take your right to vote, then they have all of their parties and all of their friends and constituents in line to cast a vote that is favorable for their agenda. But their agenda is not good for us, and it's not good for the masses of people, especially poor people. So poor people are going to be targeted to serve. That's the second part of the title of this message, the plot, the target, and the price. The target of massive incarceration, number one, is black and brown people. Number three, one and two, black people, brown people. That's one and two. Number three, the rebellious red man. Because, see, they already have them on reservations. A lot of them are not even interested politically. So they don't participate in the political process. But they will use the black and the brown man as an example for them not to even get involved in the political process or have that voice. Then, of course, the yellow man, who is the closest thing that you have to a white man, he might not be affected at all. But black people and brown people, they have a plot. As you look at corporate America, as you look at the many black men and women and brown men and women who are now graduated from college, the number is more than it has ever been before in the last 20 years. So here we are, educated people who have been educated in their institution. A lot of us have felt the blows of oppression. So therefore, independence now is popular. People do not want to come out of institutions of higher learning and go into a job and work a job for 30, 40 years and then retire or die because you done worked yourself to death. So a lot of our younger people are coming out of institutions of higher learning with the entrepreneurship spirit. And therefore, that will hurt the economic development of what they call the majority. Now, what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us about this man, this white man, is that he plans 100 years in advance. So he's already planning for his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, his great-great-grandchildren, and so on and so forth. And a part of that plan is to annihilate, eradicate a race of people from a rise so that their economic resources are secured for the future. And you are the target. We are the target. And now they have gotten a conglomerate of corporate organizations and supporters that are now using what they call a convict leasing or convict labor to make their products, build their products, can their products, slaughter their meats, And all of this is free labor because the inmates are doing that work. So the reason why you can't find a job is because the inmate has the job. And they're making money hand over fist. Why? Why are they investing in prisons? And why are all these major corporations now using inmate or convict labor? Because they are securing finances for the future of their children and generations to come. Well, what does that leave you and I? It leaves us broke, broke in, destitute, incarcerated, and dead. And if you look at that picture that I just painted for you, and then backtrack to the 500 years of slavery that we endured, the pictures look the same. They look exactly the same. If you ever get an opportunity to ride by a prison during a work day, you see the brothers in the fields. It reminds you of the plantation. Why am I saying this? Because this is nothing new. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because we are proportionately losing black men. I'm saying all of this, and it's not anything new. I'm saying this as a reminder that we are losing black men at an astronomical rate. We are losing black men not only to incarceration, but chemical warfare. I don't know if any of you heard Dr. Wesley Muhammad's message on the feminization of the black man. You know, that could go either way. They can be born that way or whatever, I don't know. I'm not a scientist in that field. But what I do know is that homosexuality is advertised more than ever before. They're making commercials now where they have two men and a baby, and this is the American family. Two women and a baby, and that's the American family. The homosexual agenda is real. And what does that do to a child whose nature is to know that they come from two people? They are born innately knowing that in their nature that I come from sperm and I come from ovum and I'm part woman and I'm part man. And when you grow that child up without one or the other, there's an entity of them that is missing. And that is the first start of a stepping stone to dysfunction. But that's the homosexual agenda. Because when you in mess, you can't see past the mess to see the mess that you are creating down the road. So part of this massive incarceration, they want to punctify men. I'm saying to you as a black woman, as a black mother, as a black grandmother, that we as women need our men. It's 5-1 in the black community. 5 women to every 1 man in the black community, which means that either women are going to turn on themselves, turn to themselves, or a lot of women are going to go through their entire adult life not knowing the beauty of the love and the affection and the care and the protection and the provisions that a man is supposed to give a woman. She'll never learn how to console and care and nurse for a man, how to present herself in the presence of a man. She will go her entire life. And you tell me that that's natural? That's very unnatural. But this is where we are, and we're sinking further and further into that condition. And you say, well, I don't have economic resources, so I'm going to go out here and I'm going to slang Cain. I don't have economic resources, so I'm going to go out here and jack somebody. Or I'm just mad as hell, and I'm going to go out here and I'm going to take it all out on my woman and my children, and I'm going to beat the hell out of them, and you still end up, all of you end up back in the same place. And they are creating conditions for you to do so. That's the plot. And you are the target. And you know, it's almost like if you anything about that life at all, when somebody is trying to game you on the street, slick you on the street, you sit back and you figure out a way to outslick the slicker. You plot and plan to get off from under the tricknology of your opponent. And here you are. You have an open enemy and you act like you don't know what to do or that you don't see what is going on. There is a way that you can get out of here, you can make money, and it doesn't have to be illegal. You don't have to put yourself in the position of going to jail. It's not my job to find that way. It's your job as a man to find that way. Because your mothers, your sisters, your daughters, and your women need you firmly planted on the ground. The saddest thing I ever saw in my life was going up to a state jail in Atascocita, Texas. And I don't know if it was a fluke or it was just one of those days. I don't know. I was going there to visit a brother whose mother had passed away, and he was not allowed to attend her funeral. So I know he was feeling pretty bad. So I said, well, I'm going to go up and see brother and try to keep him inspired. And as I waited in the line, very long line, I kind of got tired of standing in my high heels, so I just went on the side and sat down. And I happened to look at the line. There were maybe, on that particular day, there were maybe 3 men waiting to get inside. But there were over 100 women and babies coming to see somebody. Coming to see some man, whether it was father, daddy, uncle, grandpappy, I don't know who it was that they were going to see, but they were going to see a man. And I look at my sisters who are becoming so bitter as women for being so lonely, so abandoned, that she gives herself over and over and over again, hoping to find the right one. She's producing baby after baby, all these different fathers, and none of them are staying. She's thinking that that is the way that I'll keep my man, I'll have his baby, and that's going to make him stay. And it's not working. And the reason why it's not working, and there's a whole historical fact about that. Yeah, okay. But I want us to look at what we call black leadership. And we've had many. We could go all the way back to Shaka Zulu if you want to. But the reason why I mentioned Shaka Zulu is because if you can remember the book or the movie, and believe me, this, I'm going down this road, but it's very significant. Shaka Zulu was a great warrior who was rumored to have lost his mind because he mourned the death of his mother. What did not play out in the movie, but what was historically correct about that, is how the white British men played on his psyche as they saw his decline mentally. And I think you've seen that part in the movie where the white man put some, what appears to be dye on her hair and make her young or make him young, and that the white man had the power of youth. And then as Shaka Zulu was teaching them how to battle, he was had made this blade that he was very part of, and he had almost pledged his allegiance to this blade, and that was the weapon. And he had went against all traditions in creating this particular blade. And then the white man gave him a cannon or a gun. And he said, oh, I want to use them for their power. But what they don't tell you or show you in the movie, talking about his mother, Nandi, who died of diphtheria. And that is an infection in the colon that comes from worms. As the white man began to fool him in his mental decline after the passing of his mother, and they had fed her pork, because this was one of the trinkets that they offered. They offered trinkets. And that has historically been true for years and years and years. That's part of how we got into slavery. They offered trinkets to the village kings and queens and different rulers, and then said, oh, we're just going to have them as indentured servants for a while. And then after the trinkets were no longer impressible by the villagers or the kings or queens or rulers, then they start taking us. But we were fascinated by trinkets. When Africa had the whole world worth of the world right there. It was trinkets that got us enslaved. It's trinkets that are enslaving us today. We as black people do not have an economic base of our own. But we spend over $1 trillion annually on bullshit. Michael Kors, Nike, Gucci, Versace,
And you won't buy anything African. That's too ethnic. And you won't go to your brother's store or your sister's shop because the white man's ice is colder and the white man's fabric is thicker or has more quality. We won't support our own. But the people that you're buying are using inmate labor. Don't you know that they're paying nothing to produce their products? That you're really, really contributing to modern day slavery? And my sisters love Victoria's Secret. Well, the secret is out now. That shit is made in prison. We have to stop because now we're going to go. We went from the plot to the target. Now I'm going to tell you the price. The price of black men going to prison is no longer just that the brother has to waste away in prison, but now they're going to punctify you. They're going to punctify you with chemical warfare. They already don't feed you well. But now with all of the new processed foods that are coming from big companies like Cisco and all these, what they call them, GMOs that are being made to produce more foods faster, to make foods out of products that are not even edible, that don't even come from the earth, and the chemical reactions that that bring about. And Dr. Wesley touched on it. I don't know anything about the feminization of it all, but I do know that when your brain and your body does not receive nutrients, the body begins to die. And the first part of that dying body is the dysfunction and the breakdown of the brain cells that feeds the body and tell the nutrients where to go. Well, if the brain is not being fed, then there's nothing to go to your liver, to your heart, to your kidneys, and nothing's working. But that's how they feed you. But now, mind you, the target of those products are the elderly, are the sick, are the ones that are stuck in the infirmary, are the ones that are stuck on the prison units that are built for handicapped or elderly or sick people. They are the ones getting this food because they are no longer productive. So now it's costing more to care for them than it is to just house them and have them work. So now it's just prison population is getting older. They're dying faster and faster and faster. Over 800 people died in prison last year from ages 65 to 95. 800 of your brothers, my brothers, died in federal and state prisons last year. 800. That's a damn village in my country. So it is critical. I am pleading with my brothers because I love you. I know the value of the black man. I was raised by one. I have 23 biological brothers. Biological brothers, my father's sons. I have two sons of my own. I have two grandsons of my own. I know the value of the black man, and the black man has seemed to have lost the knowledge of his value. You built this damn country. Look around at everything you built. Look at all your capabilities, God-given talent and skill. And we are losing black men at an astronomical rate. You only look at maybe what they show you on television, what's taking place in large metropolitan cities. You look at police killing young black men, old black men in general, black people in particular, and you ain't even touched it yet. Because that's not what death is occurring for us. It's occurring in prison. It will never cease to amaze me how we, as black people, have the audacity to riot, protest, burn, destroy, damn near kill each other in protest about a white man shooting us. Well, if you know anything about war, the enemy, the opposition, is supposed to come against you. That's what they're supposed to do. It wouldn't be an enemy if he didn't do that. Well, what are you saying, Sister Queen? What I'm saying is that you should always expect attack from the enemy. And you say, well, police were not posted. Okay, yeah, that's right, but look at him. He's your opposition. And we get so outraged. Damn, they tore up Ferguson. Tore up L.A. because they beat the hell out of Rodney King. We were about to blow up L.A. if they had convicted O.J., not that I care. But when we kill one another, we kill one another every damn day. The Justice Department gave you that bogus-ass number, 97% of black men are killed by other black men. It's not really that high. It's probably 84%, but even that is too damn much. Where are your protests in the community when your black brother shoots down his black brother? Where are your riots and your burning then? That's more of an insult to me. Because if I get killed in the hood, it better be an open enemy, not you, not somebody who looks like you and I. That's the insult. That is the damn insult. And they sit up there and they laugh at you. And they say, oh, we got 2-for-1 today. He killed one and we got one in prison. He killed 3 and we get him. And they celebrate your demise. It's painful, but it's true. It's sad, but it's true. We're paying a hell of a price. Your mothers, your sisters, your daughters, your nieces, your granddaughters, your little girl cousins are marching to the cemetery. I don't know if you ever been to Los Angeles. Some of you are from Los Angeles. I see y'all area codes. The cemetery of Los Angeles, most of them, that we are buried in, are overrun with graves. And if you walk around and look on the tombstones, I'm going to say in one cemetery, maybe 50% are under the age of 25. Young black men. Just gone. Life just gone. And more than likely, the one that got them are in prison, are on their way, or they're gone too. I just want people to take the time to look at this on a broader scale. Look beyond your neighborhood. Look beyond your city, your state. And look at all of us, 1.4 million black men are in prison. 1.4 million black men are in prison. And the women, the black women are quickly coming up behind you. Got 400,000 or 500,000 in there now. Black women, why is she in prison? She in prison because you in prison, black man. And all of you black men who say, oh, I'll kill for mine. I'll die and go to hell for mine. And you better not mess with my woman, or you better not put your hands on my daughter, or... And you doing bullshit to get taken away from her. So who is to protect her? And then you get mad because now she's taking on a masculine trait of being what they call a gangster bitch. Excuse my French, but that's what they call them. And she's toting and she's slanging. And she don't know why. And you act like you don't know why. The black woman is taking on a masculine trait. You call it feminism, or she's too independent, and the shit didn't start with Beyonce's song. It started when you started going to prison. It started way back when Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, well, if I'm going to give the black woman and child a free biscuit, the man got to get out the house. And y'all didn't even know how to play the game. Okay, I get out the house, but I'm still going to look out for the house until I can get my own house and get my own family back. And you still, right now today, don't know how to play the game. The black woman is going to do one or two things. She's going to get caught up in that forever cycle of welfare, economic depravity, poor housing, poor education, poor health, misguided, misinformed children. Or either she's going to thrive. And that path of thriving for the black woman today is doing anything and everything that she has to do on her own to survive. And then you look at her, you have the audacity to look at her and say, oh, well, can't no man tell her nothing. She got it all for herself. She had to get it all for herself because you, as black men, are absent. And you goddamn right I'm mad about it. Because we as black women deserve to have you here. And you're absent. And you're absent for nothing. You didn't go in there and leave an empire or a legacy or an economic resource for your people when you left. You went to jail for bullshit, and you don't see how these people are plotting and planning to kill you and eradicate you from earth. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we got 57,255,000 square miles of producing land. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that the black man is the original man, the Asiatic black man, the cream of the planet Earth. And you mean to tell me that you trade that in for a 6x8 cell, 5x10, whatever the hell it is? It's a hell of a price. Another thing about your women, your daughters. Who is going to protect your daughter? The one that you slang and cane for. One you selling weed for. The one you jacket for when you gone. What you gonna do when that slick brother come around and play her out of her panties when she 12 and 13 and 14 years old? Because she didn't have you as an example. And as a mother who's out here trying to take care of a daughter or sons, or can't watch them and feed them at the same time. Who will be her guiding light? Who will be her example? You talk about uncles or role models in community. Hell, y'all going to look like. So now you're going to leave a nation of bulldagging women. And then wonder why the woman gives you so much hell. Because she's not used to having a man. The man that was supposed to love her the most abandoned her father. So instead of you as black men being a restorer, you don't take the time to understand. You just think she's a complicated sister. We don't know how to respond to men. I'm not talking about myself in particularly, but I'm saying that we got generations of women. We got at least two generations of women that do not know how to deal with a man, comfort and console a man, inspire a man, encourage him, be a helpmeet. Be on the front line of the home. The reason why the woman is not, or domestic life is not appealing to the woman now, is because she has to play both roles. And it's hard. And it's hard on you, black man, when you go out here every day and they slamming the door in your face and you're trying to forge your way and they not giving you an opportunity. So you fall victim to the bullshit. Look what they did. I want to point out one thing, and I'm going to close because I didn't want to stay on here too long, but I will open the mic for questions in a minute. I want people to understand something about our brother Huey P. Newton. If you don't know who Huey P. Newton is, he was the founder of the Black Panther Party, the original Black Panthers. And what I learned about Huey from a family member was that, if you remember Huey P. Newton in the 60s, as they were rising up, they were called the Black Panthers for Self-Defense. Okay, so the Black Panthers for Self-Defense were coming together to forge an alliance in the community that would observe the police in their activities, because there were so many black people getting gunned down and brutalized by the police. And Huey P. Newton studied the law, and he knew the law and taught the brothers and kind of formed this group of black men, military style black men. Anyway, Huey P. Newton went to jail for shooting a police officer in a confrontation with the police. And during his stay in jail, the Black Panther Party was still trying to thrive. And that bothered Huey not being there. He was one of those brothers that was frontline, in your face, very hyper, really about his business, really about his work. Huey P. Newton, I think he spent about 4 or 5 years in jail. I can't remember. But the Huey P. Newton that went in jail was not the same Huey P. Newton that came out of prison. It was a whole different brother. And some of you may have heard the stories of how abusive Huey P. Newton was, how he had isolated himself from Eldridge Cleaver, Bobby Seale. Those were the original founders with him. And when he got out of prison, he kind of was like a recluse after the split between him and Eldridge. So now you had two set of Panthers, those that followed Eldridge, who was the Minister of Information at that time, and those who followed Huey. But when people would go to see Huey P. Newton in his cell, which was his apartment, I think he stayed like in a high rise, you did not know what you were walking into. They said Huey would jump on you. They used the word abuse. Women would be brutally raped by Huey P. Newton. And I don't mean like just raped. I mean like if this is his significant other or some girl he used to deal with, then if there was an agreement of a sexual relationship, then that act in itself would become very abusive. And then Huey was strung out on all kinds of drugs. Whatever it was, whatever gave him a buzz. That was not the mind that went into prison. That was the mind that came out of prison. Here the Black Panther Party was in this original state beating people up for selling drugs in the community, for selling that poison in the community. And then now here he was strung out. Well, how do you think Huey P. Newton got strung out? How you get strung out on drugs in prison? A place where drugs is not even supposed to exist. To those of you who have great minds. Now, let's fast forward a little bit, maybe in an era that you're more familiar with. Let's talk about my sister's godson. My sister, Jackie, was a Black Panther. May Allah be pleased with her. And she was very close to Athene, which was the mother of Tupac Shakur. And as you know, Tupac went to prison for a year or so. Now, it was already calling him a radical, a menace, gangster rapper, a thug. But the Tupac Amaru Shakur that went to prison was not the same one that came out. Yes, his talent was there. Some people say it was better, but his mind, that temperament. Tupac was a brother. He talked shit, but he wasn't quick to get up in your face and want to fight. If you listen to early Tupac, you would see how he was wanting to perform an independent party politically to overthrow the current system because of what it was doing to Black people in the community. But what happened to that brother when he got out of prison? Listen to the music. Look at the interviews and look at how he died. Wasn't he so aggressive that night? He had already had a fight, then went looking for a fight. And there are all kind of plots and twists around his death, but I just want you to look at the person, the personality that came out of prison. What in the hell do you think they programming you for? That's my point. They've been doing it. They did it to Huey. They did it to Tupac. Now, this is what I know. They probably did it to many others, but those two I know about. That's the price you pay when you go to these jails, when you go to prison. You are helpless. You are isolated. You are powerless. You have to sleep where they say sleep. You got to eat what they say eat. You got to drink what they say drink. And you don't know what the hell you're getting. All I'm asking, and I'm going to conclude. All I'm asking on the day of my birth, which is not significant, is my birthday, yes. Thank all of you for the birthday wishes. But my birth is not significant. But I did not want this day or any other day to go by without telling you what the law had bestowed upon my heart to share. It's about being obedient, and I'm being obedient to my God. So whether this message reaches the hundreds of you who are on the lines and on the internet, or whether no one is impacted by this message, I'm being obedient to my God. But I pray in the name of Allah that everyone who hears my voice will tell another and another and another and another about staying out of prison. And I wish I had Brother Gene Gordon from St. Louis on the phone. I don't see his number. But here's a brother who, Brother Gene's never been in prison, but I just want to say that he found his independent niche, so to speak, in truck driving. And we were talking the other day, and he said that's a very lucrative field. I mean, you know, like there are plenty of jobs in truck driving. Brothers, get your CDLs. Go drive a truck. Go travel this country. Go do something to make you some money. Sometimes if you're a felon, you can still do that. But what Brother Gene has done, what my point was, what Brother Gene has done, he had committed to putting himself on the road for a certain length of time. And Brother Gene is buying up land and lots all over the place. He's establishing something for himself. He's being that example. And I just thought he was a perfect example of a person who has built his own and is building his own just by working and investing in self. And this is going to be very important because you already don't have no jobs. But you may want to look at it as an avenue to keep you from going to prison. And if you don't know how to do anything, learn how to do something. I'm begging you, because if you don't understand the role of the black man, I'm going to give you this little scenario to look at. Look at it this way. In Allah's creation of woman, woman is like everything else in the world. It is under, she is under the dominion of a man. A man is the hard cover of the woman. Every rich mineral or metal is underground. You got to dig deep to get to that diamond, that coal, that gold, that silver, that whatever it is that you're looking for. Well, the woman, hardcover, is the man. And in order to get to that woman, you got to go through that man, which is her hard protective shell. And that's not, it's not supposed to be something that you could easily penetrate. As the brothers of the FOI say, I kill concrete for you. These brothers will die for the protection of a woman. Part of the plot is, get your ass out the way, and we're going to devour these women. Why? Why do they want to devour the black woman? Now, I'm not saying anything about Venus and Serena. I think that was Serena who married the white man. I'm not saying anything about that because this is not the show for that. But I'll tell you this. That's the example. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that one of the last tricks that the white man would use against us would be his woman. And everybody got on this kick about, oh, black men are going with white women, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that, and that is what's happening, all these interracial marriages, and the white woman is taking our black men. Yeah, it's part of it. But what's the other part of it? The white men are going after the black woman. Now, how is she able to do that? How is he able to do that? Why is he able to do that? Now, if you imagine, if you're a Muslim Well, if you're a Muslim, it probably won't happen. But if you just, you know, Christian brother, whatever, and a young man knocks on your door to come see your daughter, and if a white man, if you pro-black, you know, got issues with race mixing or whatever, you going to look at him, if you don't kill him or have killed him, and say, you better get the hell away from here. You're not courting my daughter. That's what fathers would do. Even big brothers would say, man, if you don't get your tail away from here, but when you're gone, and her nature speaks to her, the nature of a woman craves a black man, of a black woman, I mean, the nature of a black woman craves a black man, craves a black man. But then when you start being more and more absent from society, and this is what's up in her face. She goes to college. Prayer View is not Prayer View anymore. It's, you know, Everybody View, my alma mater. Howard University got all kinds of people in Howard University. Lane College. Houston Tillerson, Wiley College, things that used to be all black are not all black anymore. So now your daughters are interacting with all kinds of men. And all kinds of men are having access to your daughters because the protective covering is gone. Why is the white man all of a sudden so in love with this black woman? Because there's no, there was a time when they couldn't get married, they would get killed and all this kind of stuff, but now, you know, everything's a go. Why is this white man after this black woman? Well, Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that every nation has its turn. But how he's going to guarantee his future is to plant his seed. Now, he can't plant his seed with the black man in a way. So he gets rid of you on purpose. And y'all don't see this shit. It's been going on for years. But now it's becoming more prevalent. And they are more anxious because the clock is ticking. And they got the right one now. They got a president that's going to back their bullshit all the way to the hill because he don't care nothing about nothing black, brown, red, or yellow. Or white, for that matter. You got the right one now. So now they got laws that will defend their acts and their actions. And they're changing the laws in the judicial system that can keep you in prison longer. Then they're taking your rights away as you are in prison. And they're telling you, well, you're incarcerated. You don't have a right to this and you don't have a right to that because you got a president now. They don't give a damn. This is real. And people are not seeing it. I see you on Facebook and you're talking about bullshit and you laughing and you hanging out at the party and you turning up and you're dying. This is the plot. You are the target. And it's a hell of a price. And that price is death. To you as a black man, to your sons, to your seed. If you don't stop this, go on to jail. Don't put yourself in that position. If you smoking weed, stop smoking weed. If you slanging cane, stop slanging cane. I'm going to tell you something about you dope dealers, though. Dumbasses. You going to sell dope and don't do nothing with that money. Why you are uncaught. If you're going to sell dope, why can't you sell dope and build a business like they used to do in the 70s. Selling dope for 20, 30 years has never been cool. I know brothers who sold dope and built whole businesses and homes and sent 4 or 5 children to college, but that was his stepping stone. That wasn't his foundation. You stop this madness. You smoking that K2, it's killing you. You smoking formaldehyde, it's killing you. Thank you, Brother Malik, for birthday wishes. I sound like him. But it's killing you. Please. All right. I wasn't planning on being on here long. I didn't know I could talk that much, but thank you for listening. If anybody has a comment or question, go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad before we end, if you have a comment. But I'm going to start in the chat room, see if there are any questions. There's a whole bunch of happy birthdays. Let me say this. Thank you all for the birthday wishes. I really appreciate it. I'm humbled by your birthday wishes and love. I really appreciate it. May Allah continue to bless all of you. And I appreciate you all taking the time out of your lives to spend with me to hear this message, because I know there are so many other things that you could be doing. So know that I appreciate you all so much. I want to also acknowledge Mother Mary Stewart, who is the mother of Darius Stewart, killed by Memphis police officer Schilling. Mother Stewart, we are still working on that issue. I want to acknowledge Mother Jackie Johnson, the mother of Kendrick Johnson, killed in Valdosta, Georgia. That's the young man who was found rolled up in a mat. Thank you all for taking your time. I want to thank my beloved brothers, Brother Rakim Khalik Muhammad and Dr. Abdul Halim Muhammad, a.k.a. Brother Minister Robert. Thank you all so much. Happy birthday to all of us by Allah's grace and permission. I am so grateful to all of you who are joining me here. I can't get past them. Happy birthdays. Okay, I want to see. Okay, does anyone on the phone have a question? Press 1 on your dial pad. If not, I'm going to end this broadcast by saying that I pray that this message has meant something to all of you. Since so many of you are taking the time to listen online, I know a lot of people are at work and things of that nature, but I appreciate the time. I really do. I'm very humbled by all of you who taking the time to listen to me tonight. I know I said that before, but I want to end with this. Please, do not be offended by anything I said. I said everything I said out of love, out of care, and out of concern for us as a people, for our future, your children, my children, your grandchildren, my grandchildren. We have to start thinking on the lines of legacy, people.
We have to be concerned past today. And we as black people, we don't really think about that. But we need to start thinking about generational wealth and generational well-being. Because if your seed or if no entity of your life moves forward after your physical existence, don't you know that your life here becomes null and void? The evidence of you ever even existing is your children. Your seed, that's the only thing that you could ever have in life, are your children. They come from you by Allah's permission. Everything belongs to Allah, but they come from you. And your existence needs to go into the future. But if they kill you, your future ceases to exist. How do you kill a race? By eradicating the seed. That's how you kill a race. Because they can put a half white baby in the womb of a black woman. And then when that baby girl is born, that mulatto is born, then she gets with another mulatto, or they put that mulatto with another white baby. And then here you got another race. It's Yaqub and his mess all over again. You don't think it's real. Some of you are so liberal and some of you are so kind. I'm not prejudiced. If you look at my family, go on Facebook, look at my family. They look like the rainbow. I got them from the blackest of black to the whitest of white. It's not about prejudice. This is about preservation. This is about life going forward. This is about you and me, men and women. The original men and women, it's about taking back what is yours. Why does the moon cling to the earth? Because the earth has all of the moon's water. The earth has something that belongs to the moon. This white man got something that belonged to you. But you don't have to go against the forces of gravity to get up. The white man can't ride your back if you're standing up. And when I say white man, I'm talking about a systematic way that was established for the purpose of eradicating our race. So don't take this shit personally, because I don't know you personally. But these are the laws and the bylaws and the strategies that are written into law to eradicate us as a people. And it's real. And I dare any white man, any white woman, to deny it to me. Because I see the numbers. If you don't remember nothing else, remember this. 800. 2016, they buried 800 inmates between 65 and 95.
Those are the ones that died. Those not the ones who got killed. Those are just the ones that up and died. So-called natural causes. Those are the numbers. That was 1 year. I wonder what it's going to be at the end of this year. So please, people, tell your sons, tell your grandsons, your nephews, your little homies, your cousins, please, stay out of jail. Stay out of jail. Stay out of jail. Stay out of prison. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. I'm begging you. Because we need you. We need you here. I'm a black woman. I'm a single black woman. I need protecting. I don't want to flex. I don't want to be hard. That's not my nature. Taking me out of my element. Taking me away from my God. Because the God made me feminine. He made me soft. But I have to be hard because I'm single. So I have to deal with things that I don't want to deal with. Because I have no man. Now, that's my choice right now. I'm just saying that women cannot really readily say, okay, I've done this, and so, and now I'm ready to get married. A woman, a black woman can't really say that. And what I mean is that she can say that, but the availability of a black man for her is very, very low. And I look at you, FOI, who have every reason in the world not to go into courtship and not to get married. All right? That's all I'm going to say is all right. But you are contributing to your own demise. All right, I'm going to do it this time. May Allah continue to bless you. All, thank you once again for listening. One nation, one love. Assalamu alaikum.